What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. I can't believe you are sitting down and remembering when we get to heaven. I want us to think deeply about that song and sing it together. What will it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, if everything were to be fine? And on that day when we will see Jesus, that day that God has deliberately put away so that many more people will have a chance to see him, we hear, "You have gained the whole world, but get away from me." When we all
get to
heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be.
What a day.
When I see Jesus, we'll sing that song of victory.
I want you to pause, please. I remember the Bible says something about the day when there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more waking up at 5 to wake the children up at 6 to face the beltway traffic. No more, how are they doing in the U.S. today? Lord, no more prayers. Remember, there'll come a day when there'll be no need to pray. There's another hymn that says, when there'll be, I can't remember the tune, no need to pray. Because right there will be the Father providing all things. When you are not valued based on how much you have in your account or how much you have in your head. When we see Jesus, the Son of Glory, and every service, every Sunday service, every Christian book ever written is about that day. Every experience, every kingdom that's risen and fallen, every death, every life, every baby ever christened, every grasshopper that's ever lifted up to fly, every day that the sun rises and shuts down prepares for that day. The whole of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. On that day when they will not ask you, do you have paper or don't you have paper? Mm-hmm. We'll have the celestial paper. When it will not be, how tall are you? Are you a center forward or are you a point guard? Did you eat cereal in the morning or was it a camel? And Akara. What are you wearing? What are you not wearing? Jesus. 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 Oh, Lord, may we not miss the day. When we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus and shout the victory. Wouldn't it be victorious? Some people will get there crawling with bruises, with injury, like Lazarus. Some people will get there with kingly apparel, with pomp. Oh, no matter how you get there, please get there. God has given to us in life our own portions. It's occurred to me a long time ago that you don't pick your problems. Your problems pick you. Life does not give you, I'm sorry, grandpas, grandmas, please sit down. If you are not a grandpa, and older uncles, I'm all, please sit down. But if you're not a grandpa, grandma, you're not an older uncle, please, let's just give me 5 more minutes. Come on, uncle, sit down. Uncle, sit down, please. It occurs to me that the day will come when the church bells will stop ringing and the pastors will stop preaching. We will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. And the whole of heaven prepares for that day. Billions of sermons after the fact. It all boils down to the fact that Jesus is coming. At times, this is forgotten. Lord, please grant to us grace. Help us to know the little things. Father, help us to keep this very Christian fact in purpose in everything we do, in our sight, in focus. Let it not come upon us. I remember so many of your words that says, oh, don't let the day come upon you unawares. Don't let it come. It come as a thief in the night. Oh, don't let the day come. Don't be like those who sleep at night. Those who sleep at night. Oh, my children. Father, help us to wake up with eternity in our heart. Help us to prepare. Help us not to so embrace this world that is all we have. Help us not to approach your throne empty-handed. Your word is life. Let it breathe life to us, Father. Father, it has never changed. These are not new things. Since the days of the prophets, we have modified it. We've added, we've removed, we've formed seminarian trainings around it. We've done all kinds of things. But your word has never changed. It's still that in your Son, Jesus Christ, you are having mercy on us. And you are forgiving us our sins. And you've come to bless us. Open our hearts that we may understand, Father. Bless us today, Lord. This sermon cannot bless. There's been thousands of Sunday services. None is different. Unless it pleases you, Lord, to make a difference, these hours will not count for anything. There are billions today worshiping you on Sundays. Only very few instances will the people live transformed. Lord in heaven, have mercy on us. We desire your word. Bless us with it, Lord. Open your word, darling Jesus. You've sent it to heal us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to give to us hope. Please let it give to us hope, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to our parents, to the big brothers, to everybody. Above all, to also bless the Father of all fathers that allows us to be fathers. I think my fathers, our grandparents, we confirm. I remember, sir, how often I love to come and sit with you when you're around. And I just ask you and you tell me stories about life every time. I always avail myself of such opportunities. And the little experience that I've had as a father shows me, unless the Lord helps you, you really have very little control over these things. You can do everything right. The result is not guaranteed. You begin to tremble when you see how weak you are as a person. See mothers and fathers praying. How we depend on the Lord. How we know ultimately the counsel of the Lord stands upon every individual. When you begin to raise a child and it comes to an age where the child suddenly has their own ideas. And you're saying, look, I wish I could cut off my head or pour my brain into yours so that you know what I know. Then you remember your own time when your parents used to tell you to, and you felt, yeah, that you knew better. But through it all, the Lord works. The seed of grace that you plant by the grace of God in us has grown. Many of us have grown to go back to our parents and say, maybe you didn't use the right language that I like, but you are right. You are right. Because now we have little children. And we're remembering some of the words that you spoke to us. I catch myself several times saying the same words to our children. We thank the Lord for this. We thank the Lord for his tenderness and his care for us. And everything he empowers us to do. To raise our children aright, to support our wives, his word and his instructions at every time. So today is a day of thanksgiving. From the bottom of my heart, I really bless the Lord our God, the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. I just want us to lift up our hands and bless the Lord. Just the men. Women, you can put your, you had your chance. Thank you. You had your chance. Thank you. Let's just raise our hands. The Bible says, I would that every man in everywhere lift up holy hands unto the Lord. I'd like us to rise up and just bless the Lord and say, thank you for making me a father. Many would want to be, and they cannot be. Everything, every good and perfect gift are from God, the Father of light. Lord, please look down at our hands. We're a poor congregation, Father. But how you love the hands that can give thanks. We thank you for every one of our children going to college. Thank you, Father, for every bill paid. Thank you, Father, for our jobs. Thank you, Father, for your sustenance and your grace and your love. We thank you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Repeat the regular time, please. So we have been going through words of our Lord Jesus Christ, words of encouragement. And I just want to share with us briefly yet another word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And I'd like us to think very briefly. I'll try not to keep us this morning on something that Christ said. And I also ask you, have you ever thought about what the Lord was saying here? Normally we don't title sermons, but this morning I'd like to give this one a sermon, a title rather. I like to call it Little Things. Little Things. It's the whole world, it's focused on the big paternal father things this morning. But I've noticed that it's the little things that make the big things. So this morning I'm asking, what might be on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I do know that his heart is not moved by many of the things that our hearts are moved by. His heart focuses on the little things. And one thing that he said here really made me begin to think. I'll read verse 25 and 26 of Matthew 5. He said, agree with your adversary quickly while both of you are in the way, or why you are on the way with him. Lest your adversary delivers you to a judge, and the judge hands you over to an officer, a jailer, and then you are thrown into prison. Now, I'd like us to know that he was talking to a Christian, not a trant. Now, these are the kind of words you normally would say to an accused. A troublesome person. Am I correct? I mean, I can't walk into daddy's door and say, daddy, good afternoon. I haven't seen you for a while, daddy. How are you? And the thing daddy tells me is, Adewale, agree with your adversary while both of you are in the way. Quickly, before you get to the judge. If not the judge, we give you to an officer, which is how daddy talks. And then the officer will throw you in jail. I would think, that I only came to say good morning. Now I'll go. Why did I do something wrong? Here was the Lord Jesus teaching very broadly. And the passage he chose in this instance was this. And he wasn't talking to criminals. As we study the Bible, have we ever wondered why Christ would choose a topic like this? Agree with your adversary quickly. And I'm talking to saints. If not, when you get to the judge, I will assume it to mean if you are guilty, the judge will throw you into jail. We give you to an officer. The officer will throw you into jail. But it's 26 that really got me. And it's Father's Day. And I think many fathers will remember this finger, the finger of warning. Mothers generally don't have this. They have other expressions. They have, That's the maternal expression. But you too, you should have done that. You shouldn't have done that. Eh? I've been telling you all, I mean, if you were my grandma, they had the slippers. And they never miss. I don't know how. I don't know who trains mothers to throw that thing. They never miss that slippers. But fathers don't talk. And then when they talk, they bring out that finger. And as I was reading this, brethren, I remember this finger. Because this is a verse of warning. Say, assuredly I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. I was talking to saints. Has anybody thought about what the Lord might be talking about here? I think we're more familiar with, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I think we're more familiar with, blessed are those who mourn because they'll be comforted. But here's a finger of warning. The Lord applying a very broad principle, imploring us regarding something that's common sense, because this is legally just common sense. Settle all matters. I can clearly hear any father saying, look, if you carry the car and the police arrest you and you are driving without driver's license, don't think I will bail you out of court. Is that familiar? I can clearly hear a father saying, here's your pocket money for the whole time. Don't write to me in 3 weeks saying it's finished. You are going to drink the gari for it. I'm telling you to read your book now. Don't think that if you fail JAMB, I will start going from university to JAMB. Sorry, it's the entrance exam for university. I don't know. They have all kinds these days. Don't think that if you fail SAT, but then there's no connection in America anyway. They can't relate. I mean, when I was growing up, there were two ways of entering universities. Is it how you passed or your daddy passed you? You know? You enter either ways. And we all graduated. Thank God. The finger of warning. We often don't associate a finger of warning with the Almighty God. Then I began to think about this, that why would the Lord say this? And he never wastes a word. This finger of warning is everywhere. If you flip to Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer that we're very familiar with, right, I think we can recite that. You know, and when you pray, you shall not pray like the hypocrites, verse 9 says the Lord's Prayer. In this prayer, therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he teaches us to pray. But then if you go down to verse 14, in 13, he said, 12, and forgive us our debts the same way that we forgive our debtors. That he taught us to pray that way. So we must pray that way. But then the finger of warning comes out in 14 again. And that finger says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. This morning, I just want to encourage us very briefly to pay attention to the fingers of warning. You see, our faith and our daily walk with God is filled with so many promises, and we rejoice in them. Our Christian walk is filled with many spiritual activities, and so it must be. Nobody argues with the need to pray fervently and to stand firm in Christ. Nobody argues regarding the need to read the Bible and pray every day. We even formed a song out of it. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day if you want to grow. But there's very little heed paid to the warning of Christ that we should not be hearers of all of these things, deceiving ourselves, but a doer of the works. I think on this Father's Day, as we implore our children to be obedient, God is waiting for us to begin to examine the little things and pay attention to them. There's a power of ordination, the power of baptism, the penetrating power of a prophecy and a dream. And then there's the silent word that says true religion is to visit the widows and the orphans in their infirmities and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I think God is saying to us that obedience to his word is better than every religious sacrifice, and listening is better than the sacrifice, the fattenings of ram. Religion is beautiful when we are warning one another, when we are searching one another. It's beautiful when a Christian examines himself and says, let not a lie be found in my mouth. Please, let's read the book of Psalm 24, verse 3. I'll read it. It says, we all pray. We all long for a day that we'll see Jesus. And then the psalmist sat, I don't know whether it was a shepherd or whether it was king, but he sat down one day and he sighed. He went, called for his pen and his paper, and he penned this psalm. Who is it that we are sent to the hill of the Lord? And who is it that we stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and pure heart. Oh, I love this passage in Yoruba. I wish everybody here understood Yoruba. I would have wanted it read in Yoruba. Yeah, not everybody understands. He that has clean hands, that is religion, brothers and sisters. Ultimately, religion is not how many times we go to church, it's how many times we recourse to God over a little mistake. Lord, I just lied. Please forgive me. Remember when your heart used to pant, used to be grieved over every heart, every lie. Lord, I've gone 3 days without prayer. Revive me, O Lord. Christ says something. He said, when we come to church and we bring a sacrifice, an offering, and we bring it to the altar. I mean, I'm just trying to point out the things, little things that we don't hear about and we no longer emphasize as practicing Christians. These things used to be emphasized in the early days of our apostles. These are signs that show that we are practicing the true religion. The Lord saw all of the Pharisaic practices. The temple was there. The Levites were doing their work. Religion was going on as usual. And he sat down by that temple and he began to preach. And of all the things he could have preached about, he could have preached about the coming of the Elijah. He could have preached, and he did. But on that day, as he watched devout people, what he said was, if you have an offering and you bring it, and when you are about to put your offering down, you remember that someone has ought. Someone has something against you. put your offering down and go and be reconciled first. Do those things still bother us? Brothers and sisters, God is mighty. God is true. These are the little things that he will ask us about on Judgment Day. Because these are the little things that Jesus practiced himself. It's not, when were you ordained a reverend and how many people do you have in your congregation? How many dioceses have you opened and how many people are in your choir? How many hours of all night do you have? All of those things are inconsequential in the light of simple things. He says, you pray to the God of love and you sing that you love me. Say, if you do not love a man that you see, how can you possibly love God that you do not see? And it's logical, right? It does make sense. Little things. I pray for the day when we will go back to little things in Christianity. I pray for the day when we will perfect holiness in the fear of God. When we remember one another, remind one another that Jesus is coming and he's going to be testing for little things. Let us prepare for the coming of our Lord. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he said we should be at peace with all men, and also we should practice holiness, without which no man will see God. May my heart be grieved at every sin. We don't even talk about sin again. I hear, encourage yourself in the Lord. In the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah, once again, the prophets were prophesying. Everything was going on normally in Israel. But what was on the mind of Jesus through his spirit in Isaiah, to me, again, was very shocking and very simple. He said, you are doing this fasting right. He said, you are fasting, you are doing everything right. He said, you are crying to me. But you are crying as though you are a nation that is righteous. Is this the kind of fast that I want? Is it just the practice of outside religion? Am I truly tickled by a choir that sings opera, soprano, tenor? Is my head tickled by what tickles you? Do you think I am a man like you? Say, when on the day that you fast, you just kept on like any normal day. You had no mind for justice. The poor, very far from you. You thank me for your full pantry. Have you ever given a thought to those who do not have? Is this really the kind of religion that I ordained? And Jesus is saying, was this the example that I left? He was preaching, and then they sent to him the Greeks. And you know, when they send you the Greeks, it means in ministry. Or rather, the Greeks want you. It's like saying, Pastor Beg wants me. Sorry, Pastor Beg is not Greek. I'm just saying big. It's big time, right? It's big time. It's significant. The people with wisdom and knowledge want your attention. So the Greeks say, well, we've been hearing about this really interesting philosophy in Palestine. We want to see that Jesus. And the disciples saw these Greeks, and they were finally, Master is getting noticed. And they, they parted the crowd and they went to the Lord and they told the Lord Jesus, these people want to see you. The Lord totally ignored it. Today I preach, tomorrow I'll die. He just kept right on doing what he was doing. Little things. Nothing could distract the Lord Jesus Christ from the mission. Not fame, nothing. He was the same man that came, that left. He was focused on glory and eternity. Nothing could move his heart. Not money, not fame. He never gloried in anything except that he will see his Father one day. That's what Jesus wants us to be like. It's not easy to be a Christian. I know that they've made it easy to be a Christian. But the history of Christianity teaches us that if you are going to be a Christian, even scripture says you will suffer many things. Satan will take note and he will tempt you. He will tempt you with big business. He will tempt you with little lies. He will tempt your integrity. He will punish your body. Christians always get the attention of hell. I read about a man, the man who interpreted the Bible into Burmese. Adoniram Judson, he was called. The first American missionary ever sent out from the U.S. He spent all his life in Burma. I don't know what Burma is now. It's what? Nepali? Of Nepal? Really? Yeah. But it used to be Burma. A man who was jailed by an emperor, suffered, about 4 children buried on the mission ground, 3 wives buried on the mission ground. And finally, he came back to his native country, America, and he didn't really want to come back. His wife was really sick, and they said, those were not days when you went to ER and they carried out all these tests, no. When doctors ran out of ideas in those days, they'll say you should change climate, that you should sail to a better climate, maybe your health will be restored. So because the lady had no other person, he accompanied his wife, and the wife died at sea. But the ship was already American bound, so the best they could do was to stop, have her buried on an island. And then he got to the U.S. after 30-something years away. And all this time, he did not know he had become very famous. There had been books written about him. You know, like in Africa, we've read books about David Livingstone and all of that. He was the David Livingstone to Americans. And he came, he discovered he was really famous. But this man, you know, rackled by sickness and illness and just the trials, everything he had been through on the mission ground, he had lost his voice. He had preached for those of you who are tired in ministry. This man preached for about 15 years with only about 3 converts or so, till the Lord opened up Burma. All of this time, he was translating the Bible into Burmese. It's never easy to be a Christian. But when he got to New York, had been chained. Before he left, there were no railroads. Now there are railroads. And so he was very confused. And because he was famous, he went on a... They took him. The mission board took him on a preaching circuit. People were really disappointed because they expected a giant with a fantastic story. But in the book, it was written that this man, when he got on the pulpit, he would just preach the message of Jesus, the same message that he preached to illiterate Burmese. And he'll be leaving, and people will be disappointed because it was in the papers. Those were days when missionaries were in the papers. Because it was in the papers. And they expected to hear stories of snake bites and healing and laying of hands and all of these things. And the man would say, go up to John 3:16, for God so loved you, he sent his only begotten son. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ. Then when he left one of those meetings, somebody went to him and said, but Mr. Johnson, why do you keep preaching simple? We want to hear the story of Burma. How Burma came to Jesus. But I said, Bob, why? He said, why? I just told them the greatest story of all. Say, yeah, but they have already heard that story. They hear it from their pastors every Sunday. Tell them something new. They expect to hear from a man that has come from great suffering. A new story. The story of redemption. Another angle to it. And the man said, isn't it wonderful then that a man who came from death has no better story to tell than the story of Jesus Christ. Little things. Has your faith moved from that little message that you heard? Is your heart still innocent? Have you studied so much theology that little things such that, Lord, I just lied, forgive me, no longer matter to you? Are you now so spiritual that you don't see how, you no longer feel sensitive towards another person's offense? Have you given so much money towards mission that you've forgotten that the Son of Man said, whatsoever it is that you do for the least of my brethren, that's what you really have done for me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me to drink? When I was in prison, have we forgotten these little things of Christianity? Are you still innocent? Obedience is better than sacrifice, and listening is better than the fattenings of ram. Let us pray. Father, help us to be simple, Lord. Lord, as we study and as so many angles to truth appear to us, I pray, God, that you give the tenderness of the heart of Christ to us. That thing that made David said, although there was no law guarding it, that, Lord, no. God forbid that I should give to my God something that costs me nothing. That thing that made David sit in his sealed house and look at your tent outside and say, how can I be sitting comfortably in my sealed house and the tent of my Lord is outside? I want to do something about it. Lord, that thing that made Abel carefully select a lamb, the best of what he had. Help us to be at peace. I pray that you help us to show our Christianity by a conciliatory spirit. Remove arrogance and pride, the pride of learning and of knowledge. Help us to take care of the secret things of the heart. Those things that are likely to trip us on the way to judgment. Please, Lord, let the love of God burn in our hearts, Lord. No matter the noise, help us to remain the same kind of Christians, just maturing in grace, that we were on the day we first got born again. Help us to honor our fathers and our mother. Simple things, so that our days may be long in the land that you have given to us. Help us to forgive those who sin against us. Help us to love our brothers as ourselves. In the name of Jesus, I pray that doctrine will not divide us, but rather unite us in love. Help us, Father, to practice holiness in the fear of God. Lord, we don't want anything more than Jesus. Bless New Covenant Church with Jesus. Help us not to get sophisticated, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Bless us as we go, Lord. Let no harm come upon any one of us, but rather let your peace rest upon us. Everybody gathered here, Father, may your peace in the blessed name of Jesus, the free peace of Christ our Redeemer, rest upon every precious soul here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.